It's another desperately disappointing day. Back-to-back away defeats in the Premier League for Liverpool. Brighton win it by 2-1. After the euphoria of Wednesday night, we have to say a real disappointing day for Liverpool. First half, the Reds played okay, had some opportunities, but losing Ekotike, who was involved, came off worst with a challenge with James Milner. Ekotike tried to play on, but limped off after 7 minutes, a severe blow. The two Brighton goals basically came from two crosses into our box. One when Nemanja really sliced a clearance, too hot to handle for Konate. Throw in taken, ball to the back post, headed across and headed in by Danny Welbeck. Liverpool got level. Milos Kerk has a beautiful finish after a mistake by Lewis Dunk, who headed it straight to him. But Liverpool didn't create enough opportunities. They looked really jaded second half. There was controversy about the winner. A really tight VAR. Danny Welbeck got it. Minte maybe should have seen a second yellow for diving. But a disappointing day. Brighton 2, Liverpool 1.
Another disappointing Premier League result for Liverpool, which leaves them in fifth place, just 1 point above sixth place Chelsea, ahead of their visit to Everton on Saturday evening. Coming up in this episode of The Reaction, we'll hear from Arne Slot, as well as our two studio pundits, Ray Houghton and Jason McAteer. First, though, to two-time WSL title winner Natasha Dowie, who watched the action unfold at the Amex with Rob Jones.
Becky, thank you very much indeed. Welcome inside the tunnel at the Amex, and Tash Dowie, Liverpool just unable to follow up the quality of the midweek performance here this afternoon.
Yeah, it's a shame. We talked about building momentum, that energy, and I think really from the off, it wasn't there. Sadly, I think Brighton started extremely well. The atmosphere was really intense. The early goal didn't help. Then obviously Ekotike getting injured was a massive blow. I felt then that we didn't really look like scoring a goal, if I'm being honest. I wasn't too much of a threat. Gakpo at times looked isolated and just all round really wasn't our day today. Brighton deserved to win the game. They're by far the better team.
You would say that maybe is the difference between the two teams, that you've got a natural goal scorer and finisher, and Liverpool without their three best natural goal scorers.
Yeah, no, it is. Right now, we are struggling with regards to the players that we have out injured, and we spoke about it before the game. And then to obviously go and then lose your main man so early on was a massive blow. Also disappointed the way we conceded the goals. You know, it was really poor. Free header, and then Welbeck was again free between the two centre-halves. And I think that we talk about the intensity of the way we defend. The goals, I think, were really poor looking back at that. And then on the flip side, we're really struggling to create the chances that we are creating. So, bad day at the office. And we spoke about how big the midweek game was and how important it was to try and then build on that. And we haven't done that today.
Yeah, and those words, things like intensity and energy, you could see that that was a Brighton team that had a full week's crack at it to prepare.
Yeah. We spoke it about again, the early kickoff, the travel, you know, the amount of work that was put into the midweek game physically and emotionally. And it showed today, and we are light. So then again, we speak about it, Alisson being out, key players being out, the bench, obviously, you know, we probably couldn't get Rio into the game as much as we would have liked. He had a couple of bright moments, but, you know, they obviously did well against him. And I just felt as if maybe the players that came on couldn't impact the game how they would have liked to and how we would have liked to. And like I said, I think we reacted well to get back into the game. But overall, I think Brighton deserved the win. I think if we had come away with anything else, it probably would have been a bit fair on them.
Yeah, Brighton also created a few other opportunities and a lot of joy down that left-hand side. Mm-hmm. Yankuba Minte, in particular, had a really good 15 minutes after half-time, didn't he? Yeah. He was the one who partly set up the second goal.
I mean, we highlighted him before the game. We spoke about, you know, I think it was 57 successful dribbles before this game, so that's going to absolutely be higher today. I think that him and Kerkez was a fascinating matchup. Frimpong as well. Then obviously when he came off, then Jones, he was just a real handful, direct, created a lot. You know, the kind of cross that he put in for the second goal was phenomenal, and absolutely one that I'm sure some of the top clubs will be looking to try and snatch up, and we just couldn't keep him quiet. I think when you look at their key players, your Welbecks, Minters, Gomez, I don't think we kept them quiet enough today. And I think on the flip side, they kept our key players quiet.
Is this the sort of result where they might be glad of the international break, just a couple of weeks to lick the wounds and come back and think, well, this is it, this is all in on what, 6-7 week season, effectively it all comes down to this.
Yeah, it is. Right now it is all in. I think it would have been ideal if we could have come away with something today. Even something might not have felt like enough, but we spoke about the other teams dropping points in and around us, and now we've gone and dropped another three and not taken advantage of those teams having dropped points. But we're still in there. We're still in there. We've still got a lot to play for. Got some big games coming up. A bit of time as well for some of our players, likes of Mo Salah and Alisson and people over the international break to hopefully recover. Isak as well, getting his return. We need to get as many people back fit as we possibly can.
One of the significant things, I guess, from now until the end of the season is there's a little bit of control of their own destiny in the sense that they play Chelsea, they play Manchester United, and they play Aston Villa between now and the end of the season.
Yeah, it is. We talk about not necessarily in our hands, but absolutely is in our hands with regards to we've just got to go and win games now. You know, and I think, like I said, getting that squad back is so important with the amount of games that we have, big games we have. And we spoke about players, the legs did look tired today, but that's understandable because the amount of minutes these players are having to play, and then we haven't got the players to be able to bring on and impact the game. So right now it feels disappointing, but I think, you know, like you said, the international break has come at a good time, and then we have to go again. The fans have to go again. Everyone has to go again. This football club, you know, will fight till the end. It always does, and it's not over yet.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? And it's still in three competitions, still a chance of lifting two trophies, and you've got to find a little bit of motivation, and I'm sure they will not struggle with that to go again and find another level.
Absolutely. I think massive games, and these are the games these players want to be playing in, you know, against your Cities in the FA Cup finals, against your PSGs in your Champions League. These are the games that these players will want to be playing in, and they thrive under pressure. You know, the top players have to. I think it's a privilege to be in these kind of situations and under this kind of pressure. And now we just have to really stick together through the good and the bad. We've been spoiled over the last few years. So now through these tough periods as a club, you know, and fans and as a team, we have to stick together.
Tash, thank you very much indeed. So Liverpool, a lot of those will go off with their countries now for the next couple of weeks. Next up, it is the Etihad and an FA Cup quarter-final 2 weeks today.
Thanks to Rob and Tash down on the South Coast. Ray Houghton and Jason McAteer are here with me in the studio. And Jace, after the high of Wednesday, it just feels like another low today, doesn't it? A good first half, but at the end of the second half, it looked like there was only ever going to be one winner.
I said it now at the top of the show, I was really fearful of this fixture. It just had everything against us. You know, to reach the emotional and physical levels that we did on Wednesday night was going to be an enormous ask. Having played on the Wednesday and then been asked to go all the way down to the Amex to play at 12:30 on a Saturday morning was going to be a tough ask. It's all about recovery, how quick they recover. But obviously we've taken a hit with Alisson, lost him, lost Mo Salah. So, you know, and you know, Razor will tell you, I don't think you'd ever play 100% fit as a footballer. There's always something niggling somewhere. And when you play a game in such close proximity, them niggles, they can turn into bigger things. And fingers crossed, you know, we'll have to hope Ekotike, Hugo's okay. But we'll have to see what comes back from that. But, you know, you just felt fearful that there might be another couple of injuries impacting the team. They've had more rest than us. It was away. It was travel. It was, and I know it's easy to sit here having been beaten 2-1 and looked at the performance and then use these now as an excuse. But I do think they're valid.
I think it's mitigating circumstances hugely, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, there were good parts. There were bad parts that we've seen this season defensively where we've kind of put our hand over our eyes, and individual errors were there again today. There were opportunities for us, but far too few, as it were. And, you know, we got back into the game at 1-1, and unfortunately, second half, it became real open again. It became a little bit like a basketball game, and it became a bit ragged. And they, you know, last 20 minutes, they looked like they had more energy than us and winning more battles and
which
second
is
balls.
A natural consequence, though, that's I a suppose, consequence of where of we having are. Played yeah. midweek, Ray.
Yeah, of course you can factor that in, but I'd be looking at that first half where you're going to a team that have won three of the last four. Brighton are in good form. I thought Liverpool were by far the better team. I didn't think that Brighton really created a great deal. The chances they did get came from Liverpool's mistakes. Now, when you come on as a sub as well, and it's something against Curtis, nothing against Curtis, but when you come on as a substitute, you've got to be ready to be up to the speed of the game. You can't wait for things to happen. He gives the ball away, and then there's a knock-on effect from that where Mamardashvili plays it out to Kanate. He looks like he miscontrolled it. There's a bit of pace on it, but could have still done better. And then ball to the far post, no one's picking up, header across goal. and there's Danny Welbeck with a free header, he put it in the back of the net. That shouldn't be happening. Mm. Liverpool played the other night against Galatasaray, wonderful performance. They should have been coming to today's game on such a high, so confident going out of the game, regardless of it's how many hours since the last game on Wednesday to today. Of course, that's a factor in it, but you should be ready for whatever's going to come as far as the opposition of Brighton and be ready to counteract it. And with the chances that Liverpool had, the football that they played, I'm thinking, got back, you 1-1, perfect for the second half, make sure you're ready to go again. And it was anything but that. It looked like we were waiting for things to happen. Looking at this defensively, it looks like no one knew where they should be at any given time. I didn't see anyone getting angry with each other. And that's the things, when you're playing like that, you've got to be angry. You've got to be saying, hey, you're not doing it. Get back into position. You're not doing it. And then it has a knock-on effect for everyone. I'm just looking around and everyone's just, well, let it happen, let it go on. And then we end up conceding the goal that we did. Another poor goal that we gave away. Everyone's caught out of position. No one picking up. And then we don't look like we're going to create anything after that. We have one shot from Curtis Jones where the keeper's made a good save. Maybe Cody had a half chance as well, which the keeper got a good hand to. But in general, where was the fight after that? That's what I'd be looking at. Even if you'd played on a Wednesday, where was the fight to get back into it?
You're saying you want to see more of the intensity that was so abundant on Wednesday night, Jace. But I mean, we don't want to keep going over old ground with the tiredness reason. But I suppose the tiredness is not just physical, is it? It's mental.
That was exactly
going
to be my answer off the back of what Ray was saying there. You know, tiredness, we look at it and go, OK, what is tiredness? And you're looking at a player and you know, maybe someone gets away from someone, they just can't get back, and you go, he looks shattered, doesn't he? But there is an emotional tiredness there. And I was just listening to Ray there. The Konaté mistake for me is like mental tiredness. It's like he just doesn't react quick enough because he's tired. Because it's like, you know, he should have done better. You move your feet, you've got to move your feet. You know, you're on your toes when you're up for it and the adrenaline's pumping and there's loads of energy. You're on your toes, you anticipate, you're proactive rather than reactive. I think when you get emotional tired, you become reactive to things.
Yeah.
You try and get there. And this game is played at such a high level, at a high pace now, that their moments can cost you. You know, if you don't control it, goes out. They give them the initiative and they give them the opportunity. You know, you take your foot off the guy, you just don't quite get there. And the ball's down the line.
If you make one mistake, you don't multiply compound by making it with the next mistake, and then you make the next mistake. So we made three mistakes in a row from that one incident, which led to the goal. As soon as someone's made a mistake, you don't want to get on to them, but you want to say, hey, make sure you do it. But what you're doing by saying that, you're not just speaking to the person who made the mistake. Everyone else in your team is like, oh, hang on a minute, you made a mistake. Make sure we don't do anything wrong in the next few minutes. Then we give the ball away again, and then the cross comes in. We don't deal with the ball that's delivered into the back post. Header across, goal. You know, unfortunately, Konaté's allowed Welbeck, because he's not jumped. Even if he jumps, he might have put him off. By just standing in position, it's a little hands on his back, which led to Welbeck just heading it into the empty net. But these three mistakes, one after the other, is something that you have to look. Didn't see any of them on Wednesday.
That's the frustrating thing.
It's been other games, not seen them. So why is it that they've come in here and you come back to a bit of tiredness? You know, I don't always agree with that. I think there's times when you've mentally got to say, right, forget it, all right, my legs might not be quite what they would have been or expected to, but it doesn't mean that I can't get around the pitch at the same time as well, and make sure I'm disciplined, keep my shape, keep my positions and not get caught out of positions as we did, particularly in that second half. I mean, I couldn't even tell you who was playing where in the end, because it just looked like it was a mishmash of players in different positions. I'm just like, who's supposed to be playing?
They're all become individuals, didn't they, in the end? Yeah. It was just a bit of everything. I think as well, I think it's a valid point. I don't think the squad right now is strong enough for this kind of fixture.
That was going to be my next question to you, because there wasn't a wealth of experience that the boss could call upon on the bench. Rio comes on and he did make a difference, to be fair to him, fresh legs, but sometimes you need it, some experienced heads, and there weren't too many options.
Plenty of times this season make an impact and, you know, maybe get us back into the game or maybe create a couple of opportunities. But again, you know, they've got something to hold on to. It was difficult for him, wasn't it, to break into that kind of game. But we lose Salah, you know. And the thing is, I think we all get wrapped up with, you know, we spent an awful amount of money in the summer, but we also lost some big squad players, you know, like the Diaz, Nunes. You know, you turn around and look at them on your bench and you go, OK, we could affect this even more here. But when you're turning around, and this is no disrespect to Rio Engamoa and Troy Naomi, it's like they're babies still. They're babies, and you're asking them to come into a, you know, a big, big game, you know, we're down, we're 2-1 down, you're going to affect it. It's like their physical.
You don't necessarily want to always put them into that situation at the same time.
It's not a great environment to throw them into. You know, they're still learning, to be honest. But yeah, we are weak on the ground at the minute, thin on the ground.
You don't want to go back too often to Wednesday, but if you looked at the chances created in that game, Liverpool could have scored 10.
Yes. I mean, and then I'm taking into account
the opposition you're playing against. I'm taking into account you're playing against a Galatasaray side who weren't particularly that good. But today in the second half, how many chances did Liverpool create? How many times did the ball break in the box where it was a Brighton player, it cleared out? Whereas you looked at the other end, how many times did we, in the end, like Curtis Jones stopped one on the line, someone else got a block in when the shot from the Brighton were winning the second balls in the box. At the opposite end of the field in the second half, the Liverpool players weren't doing that. Was that down to fatigue? Was there not enough players breaking into the box? The other things that the manager will be questioning the players, I'm sure, after the game today.
We have the match stats from today, actually, so we can just see just how dominant Brighton were in comparison to Liverpool. So just the 5 shots on target from the Reds today. 12 in total, Jace. So
it doesn't look bad, does it?
No, not really. But
you know, it doesn't look bad, but it's, you know, and this is where so many times I've looked at stats like this and it doesn't give a true reflection of the actual performance or the game, you know, the action. And, you know, they're not bad stats, and you'd feel Liverpool were unlucky, but they actually weren't today. They were second best today.
I would think a lot of them stats were from the first half, because Liverpool were...
It's just the one big chance over the course of the game.
We know the game, we've played the game, we know it's like... I'm looking at the first half, and at half-time, I'd be, as a Liverpool player, I'd say, you know what, they're there for the taking. That's what I would have been saying to my teammate. Mm. You know what, if we're on it and we're passing it quicker, we're getting enough crosses into the box and enough winning the second ball, we'll win this game comfortably. But it wasn't like that in the second half. And then you've got to say to the players, why was that? What did you do differently? What was your attitude coming out at the start of the second half for that game? You must have known, we would have known that Brighton would have improved, because they couldn't have got much worse attacking wise in that first half, because they didn't really offer a great deal. They were going to be better, the crowd were going to be on to them as well, so that would have improved them at the same time. But the players should have been ready for whatever Brighton was going to throw at them, and then counter attack that with the quality that they've got. But you know, there was just too many players who were off their game in that second half.
I was always fearful second half. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, you go in 60 minutes 70 minutes into a game, the tank is starting to become empty, and you know they're fresh in Liverpool. They've had a bigger break than Liverpool, so they're the ones who can come out second half and up it a gear.
Yeah.
I thought Liverpool first half were at the maximum, to be honest. I didn't see Liverpool going again, and I thought, I was fearful 1-1 second half. I'd like to have seen, I would have felt comfortable had Liverpool scored maybe first 10 minutes of the second half and maybe seen out the game. But once they'd scored, I just thought, this is not going to end well. When we showed the league table there, it shows how huge today's game was, the impact of a defeat. You know, should Everton, unfortunately, not win against Chelsea today, then Chelsea go above us. You know, we drop down into sixth place, which we all know is not a Champions League position. But Brentford have gone, you know, Brentford are lingering around sort of the Champions League places, aren't they? But it's brought Brighton back into it. You know, they're 43 now. You know, so Liverpool have become catchable to the teams below them. Whereas had they won today, you know, they're right behind, tucked in behind Manchester United. And you're thinking, like, we could, you know, sit there. You kind of got a bit of a buffer to fifth, haven't you? And it's just, you know, it's put the pressure on even more. Listen, it's not beyond Liverpool's capabilities to finish in the top five. Absolutely not. And it is a knockback today. But it's brought a lot of teams into it.
Yeah, it has. And it leaves you in that position, Ray, which we're not used to, and we don't want to be in, of looking at other results and just hoping they go our way rather than having it all in our own hands.
Yeah, but even the ones you think are hoping going your way, the opposition could go. Everyone's hoping Everton would do something against Chelsea. Now, if Everton brings Everton into it as well. So it's incredible where everyone is positioned at the moment for them top five positions. And, you know, even Villa have had a knockback in recent weeks, some of the results and performances that they've had. I couldn't tell you with any certainty who will make them the positions at the moment. But Liverpool have now, with the players going away in international duty, you're just hoping to come back fit and well. Mm. You know, you're looking at Ekitike, and we should mention it. He's been a revelation this
come
season.
On to him,
you know, him going off as early as he did impact
Hugely, it changes your game plan, everything.
Yeah, that, I mean, because he's different to the other strikers that we've got, because he can link the play, he's got genuine pace, you know, he's so super confident at the moment. And if his chance falling in the box, you wouldn't fault him at the moment, because he's in such good form inside the 18-yard box. And hopefully it's nothing major and he's going to be okay and he'll be back fairly soon playing. But internationally, some of these lads are not going to go now. Some of the ones that are
There's a fair few who won't be heading off on international duty. But he looked in some distress as well as discomfort, Jace, which is never nice to see.
The way they walk off the pitch is usually an indication, isn't it? And he wasn't comfortable. It wasn't, you know, he was... There's an argument it was a dead leg. He was really upset, wasn't he? I'm hoping and praying it's nothing more suspicious, because you can get over a dead leg pretty quick and it's not really anything to worry about. But if it's muscular, you know, then you're looking at weeks then, aren't you, rather than days. But it was a big impact on Liverpool's performance, because in games like that, when they are tight, when you're not playing well, when you're tired, you know, you want as many game changers on the pitch. The likes of Salah, we've lost him today, Ekitike, these are players who can half a chance instinct. You know, they could just hit it first time, that, you know, they can create something out of nothing and they can get you actually back in the game, or they can go nick a winner, you know, with 10 minutes to go. They have the ability to do that, and Liverpool lost two of them players today as well into the mix. So it was just an old day. It was a bad day, wasn't it?
It was. We'll quickly touch on the goals. It's Danny Welbeck, Ray, who opens the scoring, but a situation defensively Liverpool will feel that they could have done better with.
I think it's been a problem all season. We just don't attack the ball in the box, not picking up, you know, the opposition players. You know, you've got to have an awareness about you and get touch tight. You know, and you're not allowing that player to get a run on you. If you can stop them at source, it makes it much more difficult for them. But that wasn't the case. We've got caught ball watching. Someone's in behind you. You're not jumping to try and put them off. But it can't stem from the two mistakes, you know, when we're putting both out for throw-ins, when we're under no real pressure. And they're the mistakes that prove costly in the end, because it resulted in the goal. I mean, it was a good edit at the back post to put it back across into there, if you're a Brighton fan. And Welbeck's in the perfect position to finish it off. But, yeah, the worst thing is it's so avoidable. That's what I'm looking at. That's the frustrating part. And I think Liverpool thoroughly deserved to go in at half-time, at least 1-1, if not winning. I thought there was... They were well ahead when it came to constructive football, one and two touch, getting the ball wide. I thought Frimpong was a threat down the right, just the final delivery. And that's where you didn't have an Ekitike in there. Yeah. You know, when you're delivering the ball and you've not got enough players, you know, in and around the 18-yard box to, if not winning the first ball, getting the second ball.
More enjoyable to watch. Sorry, I was going to move on because we are getting some more reaction on the way from the MX. But more enjoyable to watch was Milos Kerkez's equaliser at the time, Jace.
Gamble,
which is
wasn't it?
Immaterial now, I suppose. But what a finish, you have to say.
It was brilliant. I mean, he's gambled.
The anticipation was outstanding for that.
You know, and it was at the time when, you know, we responded to going a goal behind. There was a bit of energy about us to get ourselves back in, as you'd expect. But it was a pump down the pitch, wasn't it? And he's gambled and just got in behind. It was Dunk's not seen him, and he's come in on the blind side. He's continued his run. He's you know, like I keep saying, he's gambled, and then it's dropped to him, and it was a great little Robbie Fowler-esque finish, wasn't it? Alton finish.
I'm going to give a lot of credit to the technical staff who look at the videos or DVDs of the opposition, because I've seen Lewis Dunk do this a few times for Brighton.
Like the little header.
When the ball comes back, he sees everyone in front of him and he
gives
does
the
back flicker.
Backflip.
But you think, well, there's no danger here. I can see all the opposition players in front of me. So it's a little back flick, back to the goalkeeper. And Kirkish, in fairness to him, as you said there, he's anticipated it. You don't run in there if you don't think he's going to head it back. If you think he's going to head it forward, you're already running back in your defensive position. The fact that he'd run forward tells you that someone said to him, with Dunk, there's times when he flicks it back.
Yeah.
Try to be on the end of it, and all credit to him, he's in a great position. It was a really good finish.
It really was. Yeah. A quite astonishing stat. First time they've scored away from home in the Premier League in the first 45 minutes of a game since Ryan Gravenberch did it at Newcastle back in August, which really
highlights
the first
away game.
Really highlights the lack of first half goals this season. But 2-1 will briefly touch on it, Danny Welbeck. It goes to VAR. Ray, what were you thoughts?
Listen, the angle I looked at, and I'm normally reasonably good at that, I thought he was offside.
Yeah.
I thought he was just ahead of Hinshelwood, who put the ball in. But you look at Hinshelwood's right boot, and that might be the only thing that saved him, that it might have just been ahead of Danny Welbeck. The angle wasn't absolutely perfect, of course, but I'd be looking at Why is Konate going over at the right back position in the first place instead of staying in the centre back position? Ryan Gravenberch's coming back into a central defensive position. He's with Welbeck, but doesn't stay with him. You know, he just lets him go, which allows him to get in behind to finish off the move. So these are the little mistakes that are going on at the moment that are proving costly. It's the reason why we're losing games at the moment, is because we're not being disciplined. You're not being professional in that final third, as far as sticking with your man, getting touch tight, the little things, but they're so obvious at times when you're watching, but they're so important to stop them goals.
That's the fine margins that we've been speaking about all season though, isn't it, Jace? Really, sometimes they're their own worst enemy.
I agree with Ray there. I was just thinking about all the other goals and stuff, and we say why a lot, don't we? It's like, why is Konate gone out there? There's no need to go out there. I don't know if it's a discipline thing or he senses danger and he feels he needs to go, when really a bit of communication. I was going to say about the first goal, if you've got an overload on the back post, which they did, there's a lack of communication, because they should never have two men on the back post unmarked. And Kerkez has actually gone forward and then he's realised the ball's going over his head, and he's never going to win the header because the lads at the back stick, he's always going to be favourite to win it. He's just headed it back and Welbeck's put it in. So I feel there's a communication problem. You know, it's like, no, you don't go. No, you hold him here. No, you get back into position. Yeah. No, you see things, and it is happening quick. But we train to make quick decisions. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And then I keep saying, why has he gone in there? Why has he played that pass? Why has he gone that far? Why is he tucked in? You know, we keep asking why at the minute, and only the players can answer that.
It's not so much when you're watching it develop. Not the end. It's easy to see after it's happened. Go, wow, look, why is he not? Yeah. It's in when the play's developing. You're thinking, right, hang on a second. Why aren't you should be in your centre back position. You should be sending your midfielder over. And the word that Jason uses there is the most important one: lack of that word, communication. That's the word I'd use for it. There's not enough talking going on. There's not enough pulling around from the players. That's what it looks like watching at the moment. No one's taking charge as far as being in that defence. Even like the skipper Virgil should be shouting to Big Konate, get back in here with me. Yeah. I don't want big gaps in the middle of the park. We can deal with it over in the wide area, but in a central position, we can't afford to have the gaps that are there at the moment, because ultimately they're proving costly. We're giving away goals by doing it.
Okay, let's get some thoughts from Arne Slot now. He's been speaking with the media in his post-match press conference.
What do you think went wrong today?
What went wrong? Started off with the lead-up to this game. As so many times happened this season, when we played a very good game and we thought we could bring that level to the next game, or even better. We had Mo Salah injured, we had Alisson injured, and after 2 minutes Hugo Ekitike out. So that has happened so many times to us this season, and again now. And what happened a lot this season is also that the first chance of the other team immediately went in. But Brighton deserved to win if you look at the second half, because in the first half I think it was an equal game. But in the second half, Brighton were the better team on the pitch and they deserved to win.
What was Hugo's issue? And also Alisson,
how long? Yeah, Alisson will definitely be out during the international break. And let's see afterwards. Hugo, I think he could play tomorrow if he needed to. It was a dead leg, as you call it here, I think. Brighton did what we expected. If you face a team that has only had 62 hours of rest, and the first thing you do is make it an intense game, play the first duels, play tough duels. Nothing wrong with the duels, by the way, but unfortunately it was a collision and that led to Hugo going out. Yeah, that's not helpful. If you have to, after 2 minutes, you have to continue without one of the best strikers that the league has seen in the last 3 or 4 years, already not available throughout the whole season, Alexander Isak. One of the best goal scorers the league has seen in the last 8 years, not being available with Mo Salah. And then missing out on Hugo Ekitike, who has had a lot of impact this season, him being out. And then, as so many this season, you have to find a way of playing players in position they're maybe not used to. And in the first half, I think we did this quite well. But as the game went on, Brighton became stronger and stronger, and unfortunately, A few times this season we were able to maybe let something happen off the bench, but Rio had a few very nice actions. But throughout the second half, I think they were closer scoring the 3-1 than we were scoring the 2-2.
What do you put that down to in terms of that sort of maybe lack of creativity at times in the second half? Like you say, it felt like the better chances were the good reasons.
Yeah, I have a clear opinion where that's down to, but that's not what I'm going to say over you. So, as I said, they were the better team and created more chances than us. So everything I say about this, people will see this as excuses and I never like to use excuses after the game. Give credit to them. They were good. I think it was nice for their manager that he was able to bring me to my end because he was quite good again. they deserved it.
You said after the Wolves game a few weeks ago, the sort of same old story against a disappointing result. Do you feel, how difficult is it to keep sort of picking the players up after these terrible results?
Yeah, that is not easy, although we had a big win during the week. I think you cannot compare Brighton away with Wolves away. You cannot compare a game that we should have won in terms of chance creation and every other metrics there is in football to a game like here, Brighton away. That's a difficult game for any team, for us, but for any team to go here, especially if you miss out, like us, on a few very influential players. Because we're talking about the number 9 position. But again, I had to make a substitution in the fullback position with a player that's not used to play there. But yeah, of course, now looking at the league table, this loss hurts a lot and it should hurt us a lot. But the main problem is that we are in this position because we dropped points at Wolves in the last minute with a deflected shot that not a week ago, because we had to play on Sunday and not on Saturday, but Sunday and then Wednesday and then Saturday. Not as all the other Premier Champions League teams playing on Sunday, but we had to play on Saturday early kickoff. That goal last week in the 90th minute is, I would say, even a bigger problem than losing away at Brighton.
I think that's 10 Premier League defeats a season, most of Liverpool since 2016-10 years. Is it a worry for yourself that this is a side that's sort of made you some unwanted records?
Of course. It says a few things. First of all, it says what a great teams Liverpool has had in the last 10 years, I think. And a great manager, by the way, as well. But then I could come up, tell you all the reasons why we've lost this season 10 times. Now, one of them we just heard, late goals. And I think today sums it all up in terms of injury problems this season. To go without three great goal scorers is never helpful for any team. And again, the right fullback position. That's not my job to find excuses. My job is to find answers. And that's what I tried to do again today. And that worked out, in my opinion, not too bad in the first 45 minutes because we were playing with them and we were, in my opinion, close. They were a few times close. We were a few times close. But in the second half, we weren't. They were the better team.
Do you appreciate whether it's fair or unfair that because of the money that the club spent and some of the business they did, that nobody's really going to have too much sympathy with the injury situation and having players out? Like I say, whether that's fair or unfair.
No, I have complete sympathy with that for all the people who are saying this because no one in England is used to the fact that there are also clubs that are selling players. So usually in England, when a club is buying 450 million, which we did, that's adding that to the already great team you're having. But this club has a different model and that no one wants to see that and no one wants to understand this. That I can also understand because, fans of other teams or certain pundits don't want to tell you that we've sold for 300 million. Now, if then the 150 million player is never available, that's already one thing. If Giovanni Leone has never been available because of his injury, that's already the second thing. So now we're already going underneath what we've sold. Jeremy Frimpong is recently much more and more available. And Thomas Modestfili was one of the other signings for 450 million, the second goalkeeper. So But yeah, it makes complete sense if you win the league last season and you spent 150 million, not 450 million. Expectations are high, and those expectations were high for the pundits, for the media, for me, for the fans. At our club, we are also looking at the situation and the things we had, the challenge we had during this season, and then we might be a bit more realistic why this season is gone, why it is gone. But still, it's not good enough. That no matter how much excuses I can come up with, it's still not good enough in the position we're in right now.
And just the break now come at a good time. Is it possible to try and reset in this break and almost use the rest like a mini season?
Yeah. It's a break for me. Maybe it's a break for you. But it's not a break for the players. I can only hope. I saw this today for the first time. And maybe if I'm saying something wrong now, then I'm wrong. But I thought I read today that Tuchel, the England national team manager, said to 15 players that they had to come in later during the camp. And if I was correct, but I have to read all the names one more time, those were mainly the players that have played Champions League and played so many games this season. So that's a great, unfortunately for us. It's the only country where we don't have internationals. So all the other ones will probably use our players again twice. And I think, but that's also something I'm going to ask to our data department, that a lot of our players are in the top 10 in terms of playing minutes, because I so many times have to play the same players because of the model we are having and because of the injury we are having. We don't have a big squad. We always have to come back to the same players. But these same players showed today character, because I thought I saw that all the ones that played Wednesday were still able to compete in the end. Maybe not as fresh as they were Wednesday, but they didn't give up. And that's an important asset to have for the last period of the season.
Just one thing on your goal. That's a Lewis double thing, the backhand of the goal. Yeah. Chest part in the back. I just wondered if that was something that
No. Yeah, maybe he was. That's something else. But I didn't tell him. But maybe because he's playing 3 years in the Premier League now, he knew or expected it. I do think we play the team that always wants to play football and always wants to bring the ball out from the back and have centre backs that are calm on the ball and don't kick every ball long. So I think it's nice to have a season ticket over here because this team always wants to play. Apart from the result, I liked the way we competed against each other. It was just fair play and both teams wanted to play. And that's once in a while nice to experience as well.
Naturally disappointed, Jace. In terms of the head coach's mindset, because I suppose the players, nearly all of them now, will go off on international duty apart from the ones who are injured and will stay back here on Merseyside. And there might be a little bit of a mental reset with that, but for on a slot, he has to sit at the training ground and
It's a bit of, they've been beaten. He'd love to have them around to get back on the training ground, to maybe talk to them, have conversations, meetings, etc. You know, we can rest them in their own way. Another problem he's got is them going away on international duty. He needs all his players right now. He doesn't want any of them coming back injured. But then on the flip side of it, international break gives him 2 weeks to get the players on the treatment table, off the treatment table, without any football. So it's kind of a little bit double-edged sword, isn't it? It's, you know, but I could see the disappointment on his face. And listen, it's his job to get the team prepared and get them ready in all circumstances. Now, everything was against them. Everything, yeah. The timing, the travel, the game the other night, everything was against them. But it is his job to prepare them. And you can see that. And as much as positivity in the answer, I think he knows he was up against it, preparing this team for this game. It was just difficult. And I keep saying, I said at the beginning of the show, the Premier League needs to look at it from lots of different aspects.
Yeah, as we said pre-match, Ray, had Liverpool been away on Wednesday night, this game would not have been a 12:30 kickoff. But with them being at home, that is the rules at the moment, and they are allowed to do that, the Premier League. But Jason made his feelings quite clear on it.
I fully understand that. Same sentiments. You know, listen, it's a bit unfair, isn't it? And it does give the advantage to the team that's not playing. You know, they've got no travel, the Brighton players. You know, they're prepared for the game. They've had a free week to get all the preparations right. But I think sometimes with the manager, it's not always been around his training ground at the moment when there's a two-week break. I think sometimes he needs to get away from it and just rethink about what's going on and, you know, evaluate how the season's gone so far, players that you can trust, the ones that you might, you know, have to manoeuvre around. So there's some key things for the manager to make decisions on, I think. And sometimes being around the ground or the training ground isn't the best place for all that. Take yourself out of it, just sit back and then have a good think about what's going on. And there's so much to play for. You know, there's still obviously the PSG matches, there's Man City in the FA Cup. So there's still things to be positive about. You'll be disappointed in the way the season's gone, of course, in the league. But there's still things that Liverpool can still change as far as winning trophies this season.
All is not lost at all yet, is it, right? Let's get some more reaction from inside the Liverpool dressing room. Milos Kerkez is speaking with Rob Jones.
Milos, a tough day. Do you feel you deserved anything from the game?
I mean, I think they definitely played good, had more chances. So, yeah, we had maybe, I think we didn't create much as we wanted, and yeah. I mean, was a tough day, definitely. I mean, you could see some of us were a bit tired also, and yeah, they did good, credit to them.
On that, about being a little bit tired, did it feel like a match between one team who had had the whole week to prepare and another one who'd had a big Champions League match 3 days ago?
I don't like this excuse, you know. I mean, we know that where we are in the stand in the Premier League, and we know we have to push, so yeah, I mean, of course, it's maybe a bit advantage, you know, but still disappointed, very disappointed today that we couldn't win.
Having fallen behind, you got the equalising goal. You did really well to see what Lewis Dunk was about to do. Was that the key to anticipate it really early?
Yeah, I mean, the ball went back to Georgie and I made deep run, so I know he likes to give the balls to goalkeeper with his chest and to edge it back, so I just thought I continued the run, and yeah, he sent him back, and I mean, it was not bad finish, was it? So, but yeah, when you don't go out with 3 points, it doesn't really matter, does it? So,
you talked about not creating too much. I guess even more difficult given that Ugo had to go off. You've got three huge goal threats, therefore not on the pitch in him and Alex and Mo, who aren't here.
Yeah, it's tough, you know, a bit. Hugo went off early and he really helps us a lot, especially last game with deep runs and the one-on-one actions. But still, I think, yeah, Rio also, when he came in, he was a threat, you know. He went really good one against one, but yeah, it's just a day like this, you know. Couldn't really create a lot. And like I say, credit to them today.
Was the message in there now that you go away with your countries and then come back and it all comes down to 6 or 7 weeks, still in three competitions, and there is so much still to play for?
Yeah, we have, I think, straight is FA Cup, we have City, and then, I mean, big games with PSG, really important for us, and Fulham in between, so all of these games are going to be massively important, and we have to come back fit and ready.
Thanks, Milos.
Thank you. Appreciate doing that.
Thoughts of Milos Kerkez there. We are almost done, but let's try and end on a positive. Still in the hunt for two trophies, Jason. There's the potential for both of them.
You can't sit back and feel sorry for yourself. There's, what, 6-7 games to go. Champions League against Paris Saint-Germain. What a fixture that is. Glamorous. You've got the FA Cup against Man City. You know, you can't sit back and feel sorry for yourself. There's no time for that. So they'll be back on it, and I'm sure, you know, the manager will get it right and the players will, and we'll be okay.
That is it from this episode of The Reaction. We'll be back again after the international break with analysis and interviews from the Etihad Stadium after Liverpool's FA Cup quarter-final with Manchester City. If you haven't already, do give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss any episodes when they drop.